All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Tried to amend my carnivorous habits. Made it nearly 7 days. Losing weight without speed eating sunflower seeds. Drinking lots of carrot juice and soaking up rays. But at night I'd have these wonderful dreams. Some kind of sensuous treat. Not zucchini, fettuccine.
So let me ask you a question. We're going to jump right into it.
All right.
This week.
Wait, give me 1 second. Let me just open this.
That's what I'm getting into.
Wait. Let me eat this. Hold on.
That's what I want to talk about.
What is it?
How much crap did I catch from you for starting the show, eating something, back when we were doing the bit?
The snack sponsored by the snack of the week.
But how much crap did I get for that? And you walk in here with a tin full of Chinese.
This isn't Chinese, and I'm not going to eat it into the mic.
What is it?
It's sushi. It's Japanese.
Oh, it matters.
There you go.
Oh, God, like it matters. Where's anime from? China?
There's some from China.
That would be Japan, sir. No, there's not.
Sure there is. There's Chinese animation.
I don't know that it's anime, then.
Would that be Chiname?
Chanimation?
Maybe Chanimation? It's Chanimation. Yeah, that's it.
And Japanimation used to be my... I always used to have a recurring dream that I was on In the Actor's Studio.
Okay.
And they would be talking about all this stuff that I did.
All right.
You know, like, and I would have to be responding, but I didn't know what they were talking about. Like, and James Lipton would be like, and then that brought you to the role in, and he would say some movie title and everyone would applaud. And I would be like, oh yeah, you know, it was a very difficult thing. And I would be bullshitting this answer out. And then we would get to that part where you do the questionnaire and he would ask me what my favorite word was. And I would always say in the dream, Japanimation.
Just cause?
I don't know why. It just was in there.
Used to make fun of that word all the time in the college days.
Not Japanimation.
Oh, no, anime.
Anime.
Yeah.
And manga.
And magma and anime, I think, were the...
I like when people say things like animes.
Animes.
I'm just not that big of a fan. However, I'm getting another one for Christmas.
Are you?
I'm getting Samurai 7.
Well, that makes sense. You're a Akira Kurosawa fan.
I am an Akira Kurosawa fan, and that's based on it. And I caught an episode...
On Adult Swim?
On something, and it was fantastic. I thought it was really well done, really well designed.
Sure.
But enough about Mr. Fantastic's eating on the air. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
This is.
Episode 83.
It's been a little bit since we sat here doing this. We had some stuff going on.
We did. We did a big XM show with Sam Jones and Melody Anderson.
It's true.
Sam Jones and Melody Anderson cut a... commentary for the Flash Gordon 1980 cult classic Flash Gordon the movie.
That's right.
And you can check out that commentary. You can go to our website, BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can purchase a download of that commentary. You can play on your iPod or some sort of device while you watch the movie. It's like watching it with Sam and Melody.
It's a wonderful thing.
And for you big fans out there, if you haven't yet heard about this or gotten a hold of it and are somehow under a rock, the limited edition DVD that we're selling features Alex Ross original artwork.
That's right.
It's signed by both Sam and Melody.
Ooh.
It contains the audio commentary.
It does.
the video of the audio commentary.
Correct.
Video of the XM show.
That's first.
Was 82, I think.
For us.
And possibly more items as well.
Wow. More items as well.
It is what they call content rich.
And I just like to say out there, for anyone who has yet to check it out, there's been a lot of really good feedback from people who have purchased it and listened with along with the movie. I've been conducting a very scientific survey.
Oh, yeah?
Very scientific. I ask people. And, yeah, the feedback's been really good. And just from listening while they were recording it, it is one of the better DVD commentary tracks out there. I think it is really good.
Right. So we want to make sure that all of our fans and friends of our fans.
That's
so
right.
If you have a friend who's interested in this sort of thing, in films, in Flash Gordon, you might want to tell them about this. Hook them up with it. Okay, there. Now, I've shamelessly plugged the
self-promoted
the Flash Gordon commentary, and we can now move on.
Excellent.
To the news.
Is that what we're moving on to? The show? Yeah. That's crazy talk.
This is episode 83. It's the one without a title.
Ooh, that's my favorite one so far.
That's what we're calling it, fantastic. It's the one without a title because here we are recording it, and we just didn't even stop to think about a title.
There you go. That's good.
I know.
It's unique.
So it'll either be called The One Without a Title.
Or
Fantastic will make up something on the fly. So if you're hearing this
on your
iPod or your iTunes or whatever, and it says some ridiculous title, then that one was done by Mr. Fantastic.
There you go. All right, let's get into the news. Let's talk a little bit about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Ooh, well, is that why that Harry Potter music is playing right now?
It could be. Well, you are a genius.
I'm just saying. Don't blame me. Blame Fantastic.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying. Casting on the film, the sixth film in the installment. Ooh, kind of slurred that a little there.
You're a little out of step today.
It happens. Casting has been completed on that film now. Go ahead.
I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Jim Broadbent.
Yes, Jim Broadbent will be.
I'm raising my hand too.
Okay.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Ooh, good one. Fantastic.
Ooh,
wow,
hey.
Can't get anything past him.
Well, I'm going to go with Emma Watson then. Emma Watson?
Okay, Rupert Grint.
Okay, good. Now okay. That's established.
Alan Rickman.
Yes,
oh,
Alan
good.
Rickman.
I want to see him come back.
See? All right.
Isn't he dead?
No.
Oh, this is the one where he kills,
yeah,
right?
Yes, this is the one where
he kills. It's Snape kills Dumbledore, not Dumbledore kills Snape.
Oh, exactly. I thought Alan Rickman was dead for a second.
He could be.
You dick.
I hear he gets killed by a barber. But anyway.
God, we're not going down that road.
We don't have to go down that road, but let's go back real quick to Jim Broadbent.
Okay.
He will be playing potions professor Horace Slughorn, who gives Harry an old potions textbook that belonged to the quote-unquote half-blood prince in the book, movie, and that will play an integral part in the film.
Okay. What else you got? I mean, as casting news.
Helen McCrory, who is in Becoming Jane and the Queen, will play Narcissa Malfoy, who is Draco's mother, wife to Lucius.
Okay.
And then on that we have...
I saw Becoming Jane.
I didn't see Becoming Jane. Was it any good?
My girlfriend took me.
Ah, right. Okay. I think probably some of the bigger things, or some of the things I know I wanted to know, was who was going to play young Tom Riddle, or the young Tom Riddles. Of course, Voldemort when
now,
he was a wee.
Now, let me ask you, is there not two distinct time periods?
There are.
So that would be two people going to play Tom Riddle.
That's correct. Nine-year-old...
I know some shit, Fantastic.
Hero finds... Tiffin will be playing Tom Riddle at age 11.
Fines?
His
Any
name?
Relation?
I don't know. To Rafe and Joseph, perhaps.
Hmm.
And 16-year-old Frank Delane will be playing the teenage Tom Riddle.
Okay.
In addition to that, David Yates, who directed the last film, is coming back to direct. David Heyman, who's been the producer of all the films so far, is coming back to produce.
That's a rich guy.
And word. And no comment yet on the composer, although early last year there was some rumor that John Williams would come back. So I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
I hope so, because I like the John Williams.
I like the John. How could you not like the John Williams, really?
Let me tell you my little Harry Potter news.
Go for it, sir.
J.K. Rowling, the author of all the Harry Potter books, has handwritten and illustrated 7 copies of The Tales of Beedle the Bard.
Okay.
Do you remember what that is?
I don't.
A collection of fairy tales left to Hermione by Dumbledore in Deathly Hallows.
Okay, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I think at the end of the book, I think they're kind of going through Dumbledore's will type of thing.
Oh, is that what they're doing?
And I think everybody gets a little something, and okay. I believe that's what he leaves Hermione. I could be wrong, but I think that's what it is.
Rowling says that 6 of the leather-bound books, which have semi-precious stones in them as well, making them, like, it's not rare enough that she actually hand-wrote and illustrated all these books, but they're going to put semi-precious stones in its leather binding. 6 of these will go to Potter, quote, insiders, end quote.
Okay. Whoever that is.
And the, well.
Daniel, don't Hermione, you think Daniel, Rupert.
Well, I don't know. Do you think all 3 of them? Maybe Daniel. For sure, I think
I
Daniel.
Know. Yeah, I guess.
Maybe that producer guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe the 3
maybe
kids.
Maybe someone at. Maybe who publishes the books? HarperCollins?
Maybe, yeah, maybe somebody
Harper
there.
Collins or something.
It's only 6 of them, though. Yeah. So.
Wouldn't it be fantastic if she had just terrible, awful, completely illegible penmanship, and no one could actually read the books?
Here's the thing, though. She could write X on every page.
She could.
And it would still be a fortune. And with that in mind, the 7th will be auctioned on December 13th, which is coming up shortly.
Sure.
By Sotheby's London.
Wow.
And they're estimating between $60,000 and $100,000. And all of which will go to Rowling's Children's Voice charity.
How much do you plan on bidding, Kev?
I think I'm going to get in there for like $12,000.
$12,000? Nice.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's like, they said between 60. I don't know. It depends where it starts. I will actually put a bid in.
Okay.
Just for shits and giggles. Like
not?
I did. Do you remember that story? The Alex Ross War
right?
on Crime auction of the artwork for War on Crime. This is a completely painted large format book that Alex Ross did. The piece known as Dark Knight over Gotham, which they released later as a lithograph,
right,
sold for $68,000 at that auction. I myself bid like $28,000 on it.
There you go.
I didn't have $28, but I bid $28,000 on that painting. I think it's very exciting. Some lucky Harry Potter, rich Harry Potter fan yeah. is going to get that.
Word.
But this leads to the question. This would obviously be more material from that universe. Is she going to publish that material?
I would say at some point down the line, yes. I think it would be foolish of her to...
bait?
Well, to bait her fans, but also to actually put the time and effort into writing this, right? Because it's a rich book of tales and fairy tales and whatnot. To actually spend the time to write it, to only be able to share it with 6 or 7 people, I would say at some point down the line, it will be published. Maybe she'll do something like she did with those other 2 mini books that she published and give all of the money to charity. It's possible.
She don't need it.
Oh, of course not.
She's rich forever.
That's true.
And her kids and her kids' kids.
Yes. And her kids' dog.
They have compared and continue to compare this book to the great works of fiction of the past, like Wizard of Oz and Lord of the Rings, and that 50 and 100 years from now, the people will still be reading this series of books.
I agree. I think, you
it
know,
really makes you want to do something, doesn't it? It makes me want to, like, do something important. And what do I have? I have this show.
I was going to say, 50 or 60 years from now, no one will be listening to this show. But that's okay.
No one will be listening because one or both or all 3 of us will be dead.
I should hope I'm not dead in 50 years. Maybe 60. Maybe kind of pushing it.
Oh, wait, how old am I?
I
could still be alive.
You could still be. You'd be hella old, but.
Welcome to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 6004.
Exactly. All right,
jeez,
so
can you imagine?
I know, terrible, right? So you brought up Gotham City Batman and all that good stuff. So let's get into a little bit of news about Christian Bale that is not Batman related.
Okay.
Have you heard the casting rumor? What he apparently has been cast in?
Is it The Machinist too?
Ooh, it's not.
No.
Although, good guess.
How could it be that?
That was, that's true. It couldn't really be that, could it?
But good guess, because it involves machines.
No. Wait, it's not Transformers 2,
no,
is it?
No, it is not Transformers 2.
Machines. Wait. Robotech.
No. Terminator 4.
Hmm.
Apparently, is going to be playing
John Connor. Wow, they really want to do something with T4.
Now, I got to say, the idea of a T4, kind of shaky.
Yeah.
Christian Bale as John Connor?
Not even worth seeing.
Could be worth seeing. And they're saying that it's going to launch a whole new trilogy. And now, this is in the future. So, this is like way after Skynet. And it's supposed to be during and after the big war. Inevitable war and all that craziness.
So, wait. Now, is he in the bunker? Does this take place from the T3?
I think it's further in the future than that. Because T3, I guess the war is just launched,
starting, yeah.
So this is, I think this is towards the end of the war and after kind of thing.
Okay. I'm very excited about it. Is that a lock? Is that happening?
I don't know for sure. I think it's probably too early to say that it's a lock, right. Although it seems to be floating around pretty solidly and hasn't been debunked yet. We know the project is targeted for sometime summer 2009, so now would be the right time for them to start casting and picking stuff out. So
let's talk about Christian Bale Batman news that does involve Batman.
Okay, let's.
Well, it doesn't really involve Christian Bale.
Not at all, because I kind of know where you're going with this.
Empire Magazine. January 2008 issue features one Heath Ledger as the Joker on the cover.
God, they have to be so pissed at Empire Magazine.
And it is the best photograph of a person playing the Joker ever.
It's true. It's a shame they didn't get to reveal it the way they wanted to.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Is that part of your Joker collection? Is you also have like random photographs of people playing the Joker?
I have some.
Do you have Boner as the Joker?
Of course I have Boner playing the Joker in the great short film Batman Dead End.
There you go.
Of course. So, of course, I have seen and admired that actor known as Boner.
Right.
As when he played the Joker. But it absolutely is. It's a terrifying rendition of the character. He looks like a complete psychopath. And they actually have a line right on the cover. Did you happen to see the line?
No, I didn't.
It looked kind of scrawled. It said, he's a mass murdering something clown.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Fantastic. Cannot wait. I'm even more jacked about this film now than I was 3 days ago.
Did you read about how he's researched the character?
No, apparently. You were telling me a little something about this. I hadn't read the preview of the article.
Yeah, there's a preview of the article. So in addition to the image getting leaked about 6 or 7 days earlier than it should have been, a bit of the article got leaked as well, or Empire published it. I figured, why not? And apparently he claims, Heath Ledger being the that he locked himself in a London hotel room for a month and just read Joker, Batman, source material, and comic books.
Good.
And that's pretty much it. And he said he sat in front of a mirror in the hotel and just practiced like different voices and laughs until he found something that he felt was appropriate and would work. And there it is. So I guess he's decided to put a little love into it after all.
That's exciting.
It is exciting.
I'm very jacked. And a little bit more Batman news.
All right, go for it.
Fantastic. Pipe up. Perk up here. This is something you want to know. Countdown presents The Search for Ray Palmer, number one.
Okay.
And this is one of the little spin-off series off of the great Countdown series from DC. Countdown to Final Crisis, something. And Ray Palmer, who, if you don't know, is the Atom in the DC universe. Atom, A-T-O-M, makes himself small and so on and so forth. Very interesting. Has some great stuff in the 80s. Sword of the Atom, great miniseries. That said, there's a handful of characters that include Kyle Rayner, Donna Troy, and the resurrected Jason Todd.
again.
Yeah.
It's not Clayface this time?
No. No, it's that Todd. It's that Jason Todd. And and another dude, and they are going through the different Earths looking for Ray Palmer, following a trail that Ray Palmer is leaving while he's trying to investigate this countdown business that's going on.
Okay.
And that said, that lands them in the Gotham by Gaslight Earth.
Ooh.
Which is very exciting because we don't get to see a lot of those kind of alternate universe things being brought back.
Right.
So it's very interesting when we get to see one of them brought back in this way. Especially one as interesting as Gotham by Gaslight.
Sure.
Fantastic. You were a fan of Gotham by Gaslight.
I was a fan, number one, because it was good, but number two, because it was my first comic book purchase at the establishment of Retailer X. And I kind of take that back. It wasn't purchased. It was a free giveaway at the time.
That's right. I remember that. And it's nice to see that DC hasn't forgotten about some of these universes. And I've read through it, and not only do we meet the Batman of this universe, but we also meet the Blue Beetle.
Oh, wow.
Of this universe.
That's kind of cool.
And apparently, it's not simply that they've hopped in and they're hopping back out again and that's the end of it. Apparently, something about this particular Earth or something about this Blue Beetle or something is more relevant to the overall story arc than just them kind of popping in just to give everyone a little refresher on Gotham by Gaslight.
Right.
Which is very exciting because it's sort of a Victorian age world with Batman and apparently other incarnations of the heroes. And it's really rich, fantastic. It's a universe that I would read on a regular basis if DC did a book about it.
Sure. Sure, totally.
And so it's always good to get back to something like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, I want to let everyone know about that. You want to check it out.
All right. Well, sticking in the vein that I've been going with the news and talking about pictures of actors in their roles, let's talk a little bit about those Indy 4 picks.
Dun, 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 dun,
what'd you think
dun,
of them?
Looks like Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones, yet he's a little older.
You know what? But I think it's the first time out of all the picks we've seen so far that he doesn't look quite as old. Like in some of those early picks, he really looked kind of old. I don't know if it was makeup or maybe the angle of the shot or maybe the fact that he wasn't rocking in a rocking chair and instead had a whip and gun. He actually reminded me of Indiana Jones, like more than just the fedora. You know, he had the whip, he had a pistol. You know, it looked good. It looked pretty good. I'm still
the one of him and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, with his hair helmet.
It's not even that the hair helmet, but did you notice? So, based on Shia LaBeouf, we can tell when this movie takes place. Did you figure that out?
I did not. No.
He's dressed as a 50s biker. Looks like Fonzarelli. He's got a leather jacket on. He's got motorcycle boots on, and he's got the jeans with the cuff.
Oh, I didn't even notice the jeans
at the bottom. See, sir,
I'll have to go back and take
another
peek.
You have got to look at these pictures for details, my friend.
I apologize. I was so excited to see the whip. I overlooked.
It's Indiana Jones and Arthur Fonzarelli together for the first time.
Nice.
I'm excited. I can't lie.
Sure.
I'm excited about it. There's some great movies stuff going to happen, presumably, if
the strike ever ends.
And speaking of stuff that's going to happen, what's with everybody doing Golden Age stories and characters and things?
Well, everything retro is cool.
Apparently. I mean, now not only has Dynamite Entertainment got superpowers, which is the Alex Ross, Jim Kruger kind of bringing some of these characters like the Black Terror, the Green Llama, the Flame, the Devil, Samson, like all of these characters from the past and kind of doing some story with them now. But apparently Marvel is doing the same thing with Straczynski in a book called The 12, which we've talked about before now. And Image also has a project called The Next Issue Project, which offers the next issue of canceled Golden Age books as created by today's talents.
That's kind of cool. That's not a terrible idea.
No, it's a good idea. My problem with it is that if it's really good, you're going to want another issue.
well, maybe they're using it as market research there. Maybe if it's really good and there's enough of demand, it'll be the launching point for perhaps a new book.
Well, I just think it's very interesting that they're going to try to bring some of these characters and modernize them a little or somehow bring them back. And
sure.
That whole thing with the 12 and Marvel, despite the fact that it's Marvel, despite the fact that it's Straczynski, I still want to read it.
Yeah, you know.
You know. Alex Ross recently in an interview said that on his book, Superpowers, they were discussing whether Alex was redesigning the costumes or what he was doing. And he said that he was trying to modernize them, but, you know, and keep them acceptably relevant to the original character. He said one of the problems that you run into, like a lot of guys, it says a lot of guys with full costumes and bare legs was kind of a problem. So, I mean, okay. You know, there are a lot of characters. Like, if you look at a lot of those characters, like, they had the sort of tunics and maybe full cape and big thing, but bare legs, which was, I don't know why
that
exactly.
That was the rage.
Was it?
Back in the golden age.
Yeah, when Shakespeare reigned, that was the rage. This is like the
30s. They also had laurels and...
Yeah, laurels. Rest on your laurels.
Planet 51. Have you heard of this? New CGI animated film that's being worked on?
Not a lick.
Okay, New Line is finally venturing into the world of 3D CGI kind of animation. New Line really hasn't done this stuff before. It's primarily been the stomping ground of Disney, Pixar, and DreamWorks, pretty much, with stuff like Shrek and things along those lines. New Line is working on this film, Planet 51. It's written by Joel Stillman, who wrote Shrek. And it involves... it takes place on an alien planet in which the inhabitants of the planet are paranoid about an alien invasion. Okay. And so a human astronaut who's in space crash lands on this planet and, you know, chaos ensues. So it's kind of like the reversal of what we always see. I don't know. It looked kind of interesting.
Okay.
Like, some of the stills looked kind of interesting. The CGI... Plus, it's kind of sci-fi. That's always fun.
Right.
I don't know. I'd like to see maybe who they get to do some of the voice work or maybe some sort of trailer for it, because I don't think there is one yet. But
fantastic something.
Doesn't this sound like you, like the classic point of view perspective switch that they used to do in the Twilight Zone?
Yeah.
Like a lot of those episodes are just about point of view, and then you find out we're really the aliens or we're really the ugly.
Dude, you know he's in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
You know what I saw recently? I saw an episode on the Sci-Fi Channel. It wasn't Twilight Zone, though. It was, what's that other one?
Outer Limits.
Outer Limits. Thank you. Fantastic. The Outer Limits. I saw an episode recently, The Outer Limits, that featured Burt Young.
Okay.
And Eric McCormick.
You mean Will from Will and Grace?
Yes, of course you would know that.
That's a good show.
See?
Stop it.
Deborah Messing was the best thing on that show.
I like Megan Mullally.
Well, I like Deborah Messing because she's hot and red. What?
No, I'd take... Who's the other chick? Megan Mullally?
Yeah.
I'd take her over a flat-chested redhead.
That's terrible.
Sorry. There you go.
Did you see The Wedding Date?
I don't know what you're talking about.
She's hot in that.
Anyway.
So I saw an episode of The Outer Limits with them in it. It was really, really, really good.
Outer Limits was a pretty good show.
I mean, this is like... this. I guess it's new... They're doing new ones.
Oh, yeah. They have, it's the new Outer Limits, or it's just Outer Limits.
Yeah.
It's like when they tried to do the new Twilight Zone.
Right. Well, anyway.
Anyhow.
What else did you...
I have two more things. Real quick, for those of you who care, Chuck on NBC has been extended for a full season.
Oh, that's good.
That is good.
I like Chuck.
I like Chuck, too, and hooray for Adam Baldwin. He actually is going to have he might be the first actor past Firefly...
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
To have a show go a full season and not get canceled early.
Nice.
Excellent. And this one, Fantastic, might actually have some sort of interest in, and then we'll get to that pile there, Kev. Have you heard about the latest casting for G.I. Joe, Mr.
Fantastic? Oh, boy. Here we go.
No, I haven't.
Sienna Miller in the role of the Baroness.
Doesn't she have blonde hair?
Yeah, but that's nothing. A red wig which or some dye can't.
Which one is Sienna Miller?
Well, yeah, what's she from? That surfing movie?
I'll look it up. Yeah, look it up because I don't remember. But anyway, it begins filming in February, and it's set for an August 7th, 2009 release. So that's the first, I think that's the first actual firm casting that we've heard in that movie, if the Wahlberg thing isn't a rumor.
Ugh.
So, as Duke.
Yeah, she's in Stardust recently.
Oh, that's
she's
right.
Also in Factory Girl, Casanova.
Who was she in? Oh, in Casanova. Okay, yeah. Now I know who she is. She's hot.
Yeah, she'd make a good Baroness.
She's
with red hair.
Who was she in Stardust?
She's Victoria.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah. DVDs.
Ooh, got a pile there, sir.
It's been a while, so we just want to mention a few that have come that bear your attention. Shrek the Third.
Okay.
I didn't see this.
Now, I've tried to watch it twice, and I have been thoroughly bored both times.
Really?
I liked the first two a lot, but that one?
Okay.
Just bored. That's personal opinion, you know.
Live Free or Die Hard.
That I haven't seen yet, but I do want to. Collectible tin.
Metal collectible tin. If you... steelbook packaging, they call it. It's not a tin. It's actually steelbook.
Oh, okay. Because it opens and like has a binding.
Like the Akira release.
Right.
This is the only other one I can think of.
Right.
Two-disc unrated collector's edition. The exclusive steelbook packaging by Best Buy. You want to pick that up at Best
Buy.
Sure. And our pal, friend of the show, Kevin Smith. A part in this movie.
He does. He has a cameo, I understand. I think Fantastic actually saw that. I think we talked about his small cameo at one point.
From the legendary Stan Winston Studios comes a movie.
I hear that movie is bad.
I haven't heard anything about it. I missed it in the theater, and I'm rather upset about it. Called Skinwalkers.
Right.
It's about two packs of werewolves... that remain, you know, they're kind of at each other. And, you know, it's one of those, you know, I'm sure Romeo and Juliet type stories.
Right.
Not quite like Evolution.
Underworld?
Underworld. And Underworld Evolution, which was the second one. But apparently the effects are pretty good. I'm going to give it a whirl. I'm a werewolf fan.
You are? Let me know how it is because I'm interested.
Futurama's first... or all new, whether I don't think this is the first, maybe it is, new feature-length epic project, Bender's Big Score.
Yes, this is the first new Futurama since the series was canceled by Fox years ago.
And it's coming back, right?
There's been some rumor that it was going to come back. It probably is in relation to this DVD. I hear that... Cartoon Network is actually losing the license at the end of the year to run it as part of Adult Swim, and then it's going over to Comedy Central. So I think Comedy Central had been talking about developing a new show or a continuation of the show.
Right.
So I think that's where it's going to
lie. Well, this may be the first
launching
step.
Point.
If you're a Futurama fan, you probably want to pick this up.
Sure.
And give your support. Again, Best Buy exclusive as a bonus DVD, including... animatics and a look at the next Futurama. So apparently there's another one on the way.
So there you go.
It's got a lenticular cover with Bender on it. Ooh, little lolly.
It's fancy.
Yeah, it's a nice item. Futurama is a good show. I think it was a little underrated at the time, but
totally.
I think it has enough of a fan base to bring it back. Hell, if Family Guy can come back, Futurama should be
word.
Able to. And finally, in sort of the out of the box. Picks of the week, if you will. The movie Waitress.
Yes. I hear very good things about that movie,
I saw
although
this.
I didn't get to see it.
Now, my girlfriend brought me to this, too.
Okay.
Much like Becoming Jane.
Right.
And I liked Becoming Jane. I didn't say that before. So if I don't say it now and she listens to this episode, I'm doomed. So now I'm saying it.
Okay.
I liked Becoming Jane. Whether I did or not, I'm saying I did.
Okay.
And Waitress, however, I really did enjoy it. It was a very funny movie, very touching.
Aww.
The reason we're bringing it up, Nathan
Malcolm Reynolds.
Nathan Fillion.
There you go.
From
I already said it once. That's all you get.
You said what once?
Exactly. I slipped it in there.
You didn't slip it? What do you think? I didn't catch it?
What? Serenity. Was Nathan Fillion, Captain Malcolm
from
Reynolds.
From the movie Serenity. He's also done a TV show.
One Life to Live.
One Life... No. One that was in our genre.
Drive.
Drive is the one I was looking for.
Yes.
And what's unique about this film also, we should say, it's actually kind of a sad story. Do you know the story behind this?
I do not know. He's a doctor, right?
Well, it's not that. It's
she gets preggers?
Yes. The writer and director of the movie is a woman called Adrienne Shelley.
Okay.
She was murdered.
Oh, that's right. I knew that.
Before this film got released.
That's right.
And she's in the film, and she wrote it and directed it.
Right.
And she got murdered before the film was released. And it actually turns out to be a rather fantastic first film.
And sadly.
Last film. What a legacy to leave behind.
Sure.
It's unfortunate. Check it out. It's called Waitress. Watch it with a friend who is a girl. Or a friend who is a boy who likes boys.
Right.
Just saying.
What about a couple of ladies? We don't want to leave them out.
Or if you're a lady who likes ladies who dress like truck drivers. Or something like that. That's so stereotypical.
If you're a lady that dresses like a truck driver that likes ladies who dresses in dresses, then perhaps this is the movie.
That's a lot of words.
Stuff.
Let's,
are we going to get the hot blonde lesbians yet or not?
I think they like to be referred to as lipstick lesbians.
That's right.
I ran across the whole room for that.
You did. He bolted
bounded through the studio. And I think with that, we will take our first break.
Yes, sir.
So, fantastic. Hit that button. Oh, God, another spot? I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973? What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I gonna make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788. or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba
that's... Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm in the US, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm not in the US, I listen to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and when I'm not eating my bubble and squeak, I'm listening to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Hello, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. When I'm not eating my bubble and squeak or shooting the chavs, I like to listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. More bangers and mash, please. Gee, howdy. This is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Whenever I'm in the U.S. and speak like House, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Bubble and squeak.
I'm opening. I'm very right excited, sir. Very excited.
What we are opening is Pirates of the Caribbean Pocket Model Game. Now, this is the new name, new attitude for the game formerly known as Pirates of the... Was it? Did it have an overall name like Pirates of the...
I think it was... No, it started with Pirates of the Spanish Main, and that was it.
And then it was... But then it had all those expansions.
It had the expansions.
So we just call it WizKids Pirates Game.
Yeah.
As we've talked about before, Pocket Model Game comes in a couple of ships in a pack. And what it does is it's made of... The cards are like credit card material. You pop them out. You put the ships together. There's rules... And it just came out. You got to check it out, guys. You got to check it out. Each pack comes with a little tiny die, a checklist, a couple of ships, a couple of characters, an island, and, some fun stuff.
It's sure.
Fun stuff. So let's talk about what you...
I got a character, too.
Who'd you get?
I got Anna Maria.
Who's Anna Maria?
Anna Maria is the... In the first film.
Okay.
She is
the... Is she the one that slaps him?
Yes. The black female pirate.
Right.
That slaps him, and he agrees to give the British ship to.
I probably deserve that.
Exactly. So I got Anna Maria.
Well, I got Admiral James Norrington.
Wow. Look at you. Now, is this early Admiral James Norrington, or is this dirty pirate James? Well, I guess he's Admiral still. So.
Admiral, yeah. He looks like the original one here.
Okay.
This ship, I guess any ship that has him on it, can move and shoot using the same move action. Ship gets -1. Is that minus or +1? +1 to her cannon rolls against non-English ships.
Okay.
I also got the HMS Hyena.
Okay.
Which, am I supposed to know that one?
Probably not. I'm going to guess a lot of these ships are made up for
okay.
the game.
Okay, it's a British... Oh, wait. Is that an Australian flag? Blue
no,
with a little British flag in one corner?
That would be Australia, I believe.
Okay. Well, then I got the Hyena. And I got Ahmad the Corsair.
Okay. Now, is that... That must be one of the pirates that are in that last scene of the third film when
okay.
the pirate court meets.
Right.
And the Corsair, obviously. It's not probably not the pirate... The captain, he does not the one with the piece of eight, but one of his crew members would be my guess.
I also got Cotton's Parrot.
Nice.
Which is once per turn, this ship can randomly take one treasure from any ship she touches.
Very nice. Very nice.
And let's see. I got the Fancy.
I don't know what the fancy is. And by the way, the hyena is England, not British.
Oh, it is?
Yes, I just looked on the checklist, so there you go.
So that's an English flag.
That is an English flag. All right, so you're ready for what I got?
Okay.
I got the Satisfaction, which is a pirate ship. Nothing too special about it. But I got the Black Pearl.
You did?
I got the Black Pearl, sir.
Ooh, is that like a rare?
It's an uncommon.
Ah, okay.
It's an uncommon. The rares in this set would be the Cursed Black Pearl, a special Captain Jack Sparrow, a Kraken.
Kraken.
And Fantasia. I don't know who that is. Must
Fantasia,
be Pirate Crew.
Disney movie.
Right.
Couple of them they did.
And then there are super rares in this set as well. The HMS Diamond, the HMS Phoenix, the Neptune, the Sea Nymph, which is a ship we've seen before.
Okay.
A Fearsome Creature, a Beastie, a Kraken.
Right.
And the Kraken. So I don't know what that is. But okay. There it is.
Well, it's WizKids. You can go over to WizKids.com.
Okay.
I think.
Sure. It and is WizKids.com.
It is? Mm-hmm. How are we spelling that?
WizKids games. WizKidGames.com.
And you can check out Pirates. We're actually going to send these ones that we got. We're going to send these over to the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Research Facility.
Ooh.
And hopefully we'll get a report back on how the new game plays and what might be included.
Sure.
And we're very excited about this. We are big fans of this pirate pocket model game.
We sure are.
But let's move from that right into that thing there.
Pow pow. Pow pow.
Oh, please don't shoot me with that pow, inferior pow. Japanese product.
Zap zap.
Please zap. Don't zap me.
Blast. It makes a blast noise.
Does it? Blast?
This would be the brandy spanky new Wii Zapper.
Wii Tarded.
No, come on.
Look at that thing.
It's awesome.
Look at it.
All right, let me explain it. I
thought it was called the Wii Blaster.
No. Wii Blaster is a third-party Wii pistol,
uh-huh.
And it's much more like a rifle. That would be appropriate for, like, the hunting games and whatnot. It's a bit larger. And I don't know if the nunchuck is involved in the blaster. Maybe just the Wiimote.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a third party. This is the Wii Zapper.
Wow.
So this one is officially made
this
by Nintendo.
This is Nintendo. Correct.
Yeah.
What it is, it's a cradle for your Wiimote and a nunchuck. And it essentially turns the two into a zapper so that you can use both controllers at the same time. You have a trigger. And... I don't know. I like it. Have you played with it at all yet, Fantastic?
I have not played with it, although it is in my household.
I'm going to say I'm really impressed with the price point on this. It's $20,
mm-hmm.
which at first I was a little kind of shaky with because I was like, it's a plastic cradle. $20 for a plastic cradle?
You could make that.
You could make that. And actually, really, and I want to explain this. This doesn't allow you to do anything that you couldn't do with these two controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Without the cradle.
Right.
Other than maybe make the positioning a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But it comes with a game or a mini game. So that makes it worth the $20 in my opinion.
And the game is?
Lynx Crossbow Training. So, you know, if you're familiar with Twilight Princess, is that what it was?
That was, the one for Wii.
Wii. Yeah. So if you're familiar with Twilight Princess, this is Lynx Crossbow, or what it is. It's a shooting game based on Lynx Crossbow, and the creatures and levels that you are familiar with from that game. And really, it's just like a targeting game.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you just kind of shoot different targets, different creatures attack you. There's like different missions and stuff. And for $20, getting the mini game, getting the cradle, not a bad price. I do really enjoy it.
Now, does using the cradle, does using the Wii Zapper mm-hmm. in any way for you make the game more fun?
Yes.
It does.
It does because, like I said, this doesn't do anything that you couldn't do with just the controls by themselves.
Right.
But without the controls, you're essentially holding the Wiimote in one hand and pulling on the B button, right, which is the trigger, and holding the nunchuck in the other hand and just kind of moving it. But the cradle actually makes it kind of look mm-hmm. and feel like you're holding a gun.
So when you're playing Link's Wii Crossbow Training and you fire, are you firing with the backhand or the front hand?
It would be the front hand, which in my case is the left hand because...
Because you're righty. And yeah. That's something that I do find a little weird, because had you a gun in your hand, you wouldn't fire with your forehand, you'd fire with the rear hand.
Yes, but I think...
Depending on the gun.
Well,
guns have the pistol grip, not the front grip.
Right. If it was a pistol, I would agree with you, but if you had a bigger gun or a rifle, maybe in the way you held it, like for example, when we were playing paintball and I was holding my paintball gun, I was firing with my left hand because the gun was a bit.
No, you weren't.
Anyway.
No.
Whatever.
Anyway,
I'm firing with my left hand because I'm using my right hand to control the thumb on the nunchuck.
I understand, which I found a little weird, but doable. And my other question was, I'm assuming that you're using the IR in conjunction with maybe the motion sensor of the Wii remote. And if you remember the way that you used to play with the old Nintendo Zapper, you'd look down the barrel and sight it up using your eye, probably closing one of them.
Right.
And shoot that way. But I don't think that's really possible using the Wii remote. If you use that method, you don't hit anything. Because
right.
The crosshair doesn't line up with the barrel of the Wii remote.
Well, on the old Zappers, you really didn't have the on-screen crosshair
to contend with.
So, right. I'm guessing, at least for the targeting game, and I believe for Resident Evil as well, you actually have an on-screen crosshair.
Right.
Because like I said, you don't need the Zapper to play those games. So, presuming you don't have the cradle, they need to have the crosshair there so that you can just use the Wiimote and aim.
Right.
So, I like it. I think it's fun. I think for $20, it's a good price. The cradle is pretty sturdy. I like the fact that it comes with a wire compartment so that you don't have that excessively long cord between the Wiimote and the nunchuck exposed and dangling. And, it's easy. It's not bulky, I don't think, or excessively bulky.
And if you do pick it up, they're coming out with one of my arcade favorites, although it's some people would call it a stupid game, Ghost Squad, as well as a version of Medal of Honor that's going to have the 32-person online multiplayer.
Right.
Wow,
and,
really?
And,
yeah.
And the big one coming, Resident Evil Umbrella Chronicles.
Which is out already? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it came out the same time as the Zapper, actually, because I saw it in Best Buy this weekend, but I didn't pick it up because it's on my Christmas list.
There's so many games out, and I'm sorry, Kev, but Xbox 360 has so many really good games out that I haven't even looked the way of the Wii, although I also have a copy of Super Mario Galaxy in my house, and I'm dying to play it.
Yes, I haven't picked that one up yet either. I picked up Mario Party. I'm a little behind the times in the Mario.
I would be interested in the 32X.
The Medal of Honor 32 player.
Yeah, the 32 player online thing. That sounds very interesting.
So,
are they only going to make that available on the Wii?
Oh, I don't know. You'll have to check it out.
Is that going to be the Modern Warfare one?
No.
Because the current one is
Call
a Modern Warfare. Oh, is that Call of Duty?
Call of Duty 4, which I also have for 360. Modern Warfare is really good, yeah.
I haven't played that yet. Can I borrow that?
It's not mine.
See, this is what happens when I want to borrow something. No, mine.
Same thing that happened when I asked you. I said, can I borrow Boondocks? What'd you say?
It's not mine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Liz's.
Yeah.
It's a load of shit.
She loves it.
Anyway.
All right, so.
I think it's good. I think at $20, it's definitely worth your investment.
It's spacey looking.
It's kind of fun looking. And,
it's goofy looking.
I like it, though. I like it.
I meant goofy.
So there it is. Pick it up if you want it. Fuck you if you don't.
That's going to be a lot of fuck yous because...
And there it is.
I don't know. Is the Wii doing all right? Is it doing good?
It's doing stellar, sir. It's outselling everything.
It's kicking the ass.
You still can't get them in stores.
Is that right? You still can't
walk into a store and find one. They sell out the day they come into every single store.
And yet you see stacks at MPS3s everywhere.
Stacks.
And yet Sony's still saying we're selling out. No, but that was like Sony to shortchange customers and ship too little and say that they're sold out.
Exactly.
Well, there it is. It's a couple of fine new products for you to check out.
Right.
WizKidsGames.com for Pirates of the Caribbean collectible pocket model game, which is the extension of their formerly impressive and still impressive game, Pirates of the add the extension on. And the Wii Zapper.
Right.
Game, the Wii Zapper controller cradle. Is that what you called it?
I'm calling it a cradle because it's not a controller and it doesn't come with controllers, right. But it serves as a cradle for your existing controller.
Comes with a little game, makes it more fun and enjoyable, right. If you have
target
the Wii.
Practice.
And we'll be right back with the wrap up.
Welcome to the Nerd World Order!
Nerds are comic book readers, gamers, anime and manga fans, sci-fi and fantasy fans, action figure collectors, or anyone else that chooses to represent the nerd lifestyle. There has never been a clothing line for us to identify as our own, so the NWO was born.
The Nerd World Order is the clothing company for nerds, NERDZ.
A new breed of nerds.
A breed that's in your face.
A breed that's in control.
A breed that doesn't back down.
No dumbass phrases on NWO t-shirts. No fanboy art on NWO t-shirts. Just badass designs for a new breed of nerds.
Take one brief look at the Nerd World Order slogan, Nerds Rule! You have now begun the Nerd World Order experience.
Nerd World Order clothing is all about representing who we are.
Find the Nerd World Order at NERDZRule.com.
Go to nerdsrule.com now to enter to win a free NWO t-shirt.
Nerds Rule!
I died so many years ago. You can make me feel like it isn't so.
Hello, this is James Masters.
And you're what? Shocked and disappointed? I'm evil.
From Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Help me out here, Spark. I don't speak loser.
The coolest stuff around.
And you can't tell the ones you love. You know they couldn't deal. Whisper in the dead man.
We are back with Geek Stuff, Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 83, to be named later by Mr. Fantastic.
No, I said the one with no name. Now we'll see if it actually ends up being that.
No, it's not. Anyway, tonight we talked about Harry Potter. Wow.
His whim is his own.
It is true. His whim is his own. We talked about Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, some of the casting news as far as who's going to be playing Tom Riddle and Professor Horace Slughorn, etc. Is Hero Finds Tiffin related to Rafe and Joseph? I don't know.
Probably could have looked that up.
Probably.
I said that J.K. Rowling has handwritten 7 copies of The Tales of Beedle the Bard, which is a collection of fairy tales left to Hermione by Dumbledore in Deathly Hallows. 6 of them have been given away to insiders. The 7th to be auctioned on December 13th, Sotheby's London. Proceeds going to Rowling's Children's Voice Charity. So good for her, good for Harry Potter fans, which means maybe they'll get something else down the line.
We talked a little bit about Christian Bale possibly relaunching the Terminator franchise, much the same way he relaunched the Batman franchise, and what that means or how it will turn out.
Comic to check out, Countdown presents The Search for Ray Palmer number 1. A couple of characters, Jason Todd, Kyle Rayner, Donna Troy, bouncing around looking for the Atom, Ray Palmer, and the first alternate Earth they land in is the Gotham by Gaslight,
right,
where we meet the Gotham by Gaslight Blue Beetle, who is very excited. It's a very exciting book, a time period Earth. I wish they would do more with it.
If you haven't checked out that picture on the cover of Empire magazine of Heath Ledger as the Joker, you are doing yourself a disservice. You should seek out that image. You should seek out that magazine. It is
I'll plug it. Superherohype.com.
There you go.
Everything old is new again, including Dynamite Entertainment's Superpowers with Alex Ross and our pal Jim Krueger. Telling the story of some long-forgotten characters from the golden age of comics, which, of course, is the trend now. Also, Marvel's The 12 is kind of the Straczynski version of some old Marvel characters and how they're transported. We've talked about that in the past. And Image's next issue project, which offers the next issue in some canceled golden age books. So everything old, new again.
You can check out some pictures online of Indiana Jones and Shia Fonzarelli and the new Jones 4 film, Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls. I think it looks pretty good. I think Harrison Ford looks pretty banging. So there you go.
I don't know about that. DVDs. Shrek the Third. Live Free or Die Hard.
Yay.
Collectible steelbook packaging from Best Buy. Bender's Big Score, the Futurama full-length epic. Again,
hoorah.
Bonus disc from Best Buy. Skinwalkers, great vampire...
werewolf.
Werewolf, rather. Presumably some sort of werewolf movie. I may be perhaps attached great preemptively there.
You might have.
And, of course, our own Nathan Fillion.
That's right.
Appearing in Waitress, a feel-good little movie with a very sad story behind it, unfortunately.
And Sienna Miller will be appearing in G.I. Joe. Fantastic. I know you're excited.
Yes, he's almost excited enough to be awake.
Almost.
Yes, I'm excited.
Exactly.
And then our final segment this evening, we talked about a couple of products. WizKidsGames.com, you can check out Pirates of the Caribbean, the latest extension or the reinvention, if you will, of their pocket model game known as Pirates of the Spanish Main, Pirates of the this
Barbary
and that.
Coast,
and
Crimson Coast,
and,
Jade, Mysterious Islands.
Something and something. And this is their latest expansion. It's fantastic. We'll let you know more about it once the research department gets the report back to us. And rounding out the evening, the Wii Zapper.
I love the Wii Zapper. I like zapping my zapper.
I bet you do. This is a cradle for your Wiimote and your Wii Chuck. And it helps you play shoot 'em up games.
That's right.
More effective.
And for $20, it's a steal.
It is a steal. Something.
And I think that's it, right?
Well, I just want to mention in passing, Aquaman creator Paul Norris died a couple of weeks ago at the age of 93. He also moved on to other features, including The Sandman and Johnny Quick. Later in his career, he worked on Flash Gordon, Secret Agent X9, Jungle Jim, and Brick Bradford, which he drew from 1952 to 1987. Wow. That's a long time to draw something.
So,
and,
you will be missed, sir.
Died at 93.
Wow. Ripe old age.
Yeah. It's very sad. Well, that's episode 83.
That is episode 83.
Hope you managed to suffer your way through it.
Oof, I know we did.
And we're going to hopefully bounce back in episode 84.
Right. Don't forget to check us out online while you're waiting for episode 84 to come out at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You could check out all the episodes there. You could check out the Flash Gordon commentary that we did with Sam Jones
yes.
and Melody Anderson.
And we should again mention... Alpha Graphics of Montclair,
of course.
Our favorite sponsor. You can check them out at weprintfast.com.
Right.
The commentary by Sam Jones and Melody Anderson for the Flash Gordon movie available for sale at our website, Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You can either get the download version for
right.
$7. You can get the limited edition signed, numbered, content-rich DVD that we're offering on there for, I think it's $30.
I believe so.
Featuring Alex Ross artwork and a bunch of other things. So check that out over on the website. You should also go to iTunes and leave us a review.
Sure.
You should also go to Dig.
Wow, just getting them all out there.
Dig our episodes. You should also, if you're a World of Warcraft player, you should find my character, Blue Devil, with two L's, BlueDevill, on the Kirin Tor server.
Okay.
And drop me a note, or come and find me, say hi, or mail me some money, yo. Just saying.
There it is.
Always use some flow in that game.
Sure.
Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 83, the one with no name?
Since when does G.I. Joe stand for Global Integrated Joint Operating Entity? What a crock of shit.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Yo, yo!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe,
American hero.
G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe against Cobra and Destro, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe is there!
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose, to defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe!